I said this last time, but I don't know why, but every time I put this on, I feel like I'm a K-pop star. But definitely not. The kids are looking at me, they're like, nope. Yeah. So, good morning. My name is Young, if you guys don't know me. I lead worship here sometimes. Well, not sometimes, but once a month. I'm really thankful to have this opportunity again to speak to you. I think like last time, I forgot, it was like record time, it was like 20 minutes, so you guys can time me. I don't know if I made it longer or not, so hopefully it's a little bit longer today, all right? The title of today's sermon is called A Battle Worth Fighting For. A Battle Worth Fighting For. And just right off the bat, when I read that title, you know, it makes me think of just one question, right? Now I wanna ask you that question today. What makes something worth fighting for? What makes something worth fighting for? And one thing I know for sure not to fight, right, and I hear this from a lot of married men, is they say don't fight your wives, right? And can I ask the Catalyst woman, is that true? Right, because they say if you fight them, you know, it's just like a losing battle. And they said the only time it's worth it is if you don't mind sleeping on the couch, right? But yeah, back to the question, what makes something worth fighting for? Did you ever ask that question in your life before? You know, I know we fight a lot of things in our lives, but what truly makes something where you give it your all to fight for? And right off the top of my head, what I can think of, you know, it doesn't matter if you're Christian or not Christian today, I think we can all agree on a couple of things, right? And I would say that we would fight for our families, right? Our loved ones, our marriages, we would fight for that. And even in history, you see a lot of people fighting for human rights, equality, they fight for the. And usually these things aren't something that we take very lightly, right? We don't just put a little bit of effort in, right? And just say, oh, you know, when it gets hard, I'm gonna quit. But if it's truly something that you value today, right? So truly something you value, something that you know that is much more than just important to you, something that means everything to you, then I can truly say, at least for me, that it is in fact something that is worth fighting for. So today we're gonna focus on a man named Moses. You know, I know you guys, all of you guys, I don't know if you guys all know, you know, but most of you guys know Moses, and he's a man who battled and struggled and fought for something that he knew that he truly valued in his heart. And something, it was something that he never wanted to give up on. And that was the fight to hunger after God. I believe it's such a difficult thing in our society today, right? To hunger after the Lord. There's just so much distraction, so many things we get caught up in, right? We get caught up in our busyness, our responsibilities. Sometimes we get caught up in this rat race of life, right? And a lot of us, we want that American dream. We want that car, we want that house, right? We want that perfect life. And the reality is, a lot of us struggle inside because of it. We feel numb, we feel distant, we feel far from God. And I know that we all desire to get back to this place where we truly desire the Lord and we truly are passionate for God and hungry for God. But a lot of us here, you know, we walked in, we're tired. You know, I get tired too. We get tired, we feel weary, we feel hopeless. And some of us, we just don't know what to do anymore. We don't know what the next steps are. So Catalyst, I want to encourage you today. The Lord has so much for your life. Do you believe that? Amen. He has a plan. He has a purpose for your life, and he has a destiny for you. So let's take a hold of that truth today. And, you know, for some, I just want to say that feel like you're on your last thread. I want to encourage you once again, don't give up. The fight's not over. The battle's not over yet. God never gives up on you. So let's not give up on God. Amen. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Holy Spirit, will you come? Come and convict every heart this morning. Lord, I pray that you speak through me. Lord, I'm such a flawed individual, but Lord, you still use me, Lord, to speak your word. So Holy Spirit, will you come? start to stir into hearts that are feeling weary and tired and hopeless, Lord? Will you start putting a hope inside of them? Will you start putting a fire inside of their hearts today? Lord, that today will be that point where they make that decision, and today will be that turning point in their lives, Lord, where they start to hunger after you, God. So we thank you for this opportunity and this time to hear your voice. Thank you. We love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, we're going to jump into scripture. If you guys have your Bibles, am I cutting in and out? No? Okay, it's just me. If you have your Bibles or your smartphones, can you turn to Exodus chapter 17, verse 8 through 16, where it's going to be up there too. Exodus chapter 17, verse 8 through 16. Oh, it's a different version, but I'll read my version. While the people of Israel were still at Rephidim, warriors of Amalek attacked them. So Moses commanded Joshua, "Choose some men to go out and fight the army of Amalek for us. Tomorrow I will stand at the top of the hill, holding the staff of God in my hand." So Joshua did what Moses had commanded and fought the army of Amalek. Meanwhile, Moses, Aaron, and Hur climbed to the top of a nearby hill. As long as Moses held up the staff in his hand, the Israelites had the advantage. But whenever he dropped his hand, the Amalekites gained the advantage. Moses' arms soon became so tired he could no longer hold them up. So Aaron and Hur found a stone for him to sit on. Then they stood on each side of Moses, holding up his hands, so his hands held steady until sunset. As a result, Joshua overwhelmed the army of Amalek in battle. After the victory, the Lord instructed him, "Write this down on a scroll as a permanent reminder and read it aloud to Joshua. I will erase the memory of Amalek under heaven." Moses built an altar there and named it Yahweh Nisi, which means, "The Lord is my banner." He said, "They have raised a fist against the Lord's throne, so now the Lord will be at war with Amalek generation after generation." This is the word of the Lord. Amen. So, just some context of what's going on here, right? Just a couple chapters back, you guys already know the story of Moses, right? Moses is sent by God to go rescue Israel from Egypt. And Israel at this time is under the rule of the Egyptian army and Egyptian nation, and they're there as slaves. And it says in the Bible that they were there for more than 400 years. That's such a long time. And through that, through that, God's grace and his mercy came through. And through the leadership of Moses, they finally got out of Egypt. They crossed the Red Sea, right? God split the Red Sea, and they finally made it out of Egypt. And this is where the story begins. The Israelites, they start to travel through the desert because they want to make it to the promised land. And they stop by this place called Rephidim. And in this place, they take a little break. They're like, you know, we've been traveling for such a long time. I'm going to shake the sand off my sandals a little bit, you know, kick back, just kind of relax. And then all of a sudden, these people called the Amalekites, they just show up out of nowhere and they start harassing them for no reason at all. And I'm sure if I was Moses at that time, I would be like, "Lord, seriously, we just barely escaped Egypt, barely made it out alive, and now somebody's trying to kill us and trying to harass us and attack us?" You know, if it was me, I would just be like so upset with God. So he calls over his trusted servant Joshua, and he says, "All right, Joshua, you're going to be down there, and you're going to lead our troops to fight the Amalekites. I'll be up here, up on this hill, and I'll be fighting with you, not physically, but in spirit." And I'm pretty sure if somebody said that to me, I'll be like pretty upset. You know, I'm like, say like I'm having like the worst day ever. I'm like, say I'm like stuck in the airport for like 8 hours, right? I'm having the most horrible day. So I'm like, I'm gonna call my friend. And I'm like, "Bro, I'm having the worst day." And then he's like, "Bro, I feel you. I'm there for you. I'm fighting with you in spirit." And I'll be like, that doesn't really help me at all, you know, for you to say something like that. At least say you're going to pray for me or something, you know? You know, but the funny thing is, that's exactly what Moses was doing. He was fighting a spiritual battle that was internal, while Joshua fought the battle that was external, right? And as scripture shows, the success of the battle that was waged against the Amalekites, it was solely contingent on the inner spiritual battle of Moses. As long as Moses held up his hands, you know, as long as he continued to seek the Lord and hunger after God, the war would turn in their favor. And I really have to think about that for a moment in my life, right? And maybe in for your lives too. How often do we come face to face with obstacles? And immediately the first thing we want to do is we want to figure it out, right? The first thing we want to do is we want to face it head on. We want to figure it out with just external means. And you know, sometimes you have to fight externally. But often as we do the external fight, sometimes we forget the internal one. How many of you know that God doesn't want you to be this busy person? He doesn't want you to be this person who's trying to fix this problem, fix that problem, put out this fire, got to be over here, do this and that. But all God really wants us to do is to remove ourselves from all that. He wants us to remove ourselves from the battle. And just like Moses did, get on our knees and seek the presence of God. And, you know, being honest, I struggle with this too. I fail a lot. Sometimes I just want to try to figure things out for myself. So I really wanted to learn from this passage of how Moses was able to successfully continue to hunger after God. So I found four things that may help us today. Four things that's going to help us in our fight, in our hunger for God. And let's go to point number one. Point number one is realize that we need God. Turn to your neighbors and say, you need God. I know, it sounds a little offensive, right? Take it out? Okay. Yeah. Is that better? Okay. I'm sure most of you guys already know, I started this ministry with amazing people like, you know, Theo, Sue, Sean, Melissa, Jiho, Dan, and Catherine, and Hubert, and we all started this revival ministry called Beautiful Gate. And we only started a couple months ago, and you know, we came together because we got this conviction from the Lord to start this ministry. But honestly, we really started this ministry because we came into a place in our lives where we realized that we desperately needed God. And as I do this ministry, it's, you know, I do this on the side, but I also work full-time. For most of you guys know, I work at the school called Fusion Academy. And it's like a private school for a lot of kids who are like misfits. They can't really fit into a public school system. So they come here and we do this like one-on-one kind of model, right? And I'm the music teacher there, and I really love my job. I love my job because, not only because I get to teach music, but I really love it because I get to mentor them one-on-one. I get to hear their stories, and I get to really get to know them in a really deep way. And one thing I've realized from working there is that these kids, you know, it ranges from middle school to high school. There's just so much brokenness in these young students. Most of them, like, you know, when I was in middle school, all I remember is like Pokemon, you know? But most of these kids, they're already into drugs. They're already into sex, violence. Some of them already been incarcerated. And as I get to know their stories, I just see destruction that Satan has caused in their lives. You know, I'll never forget this one time. One of my students, she was telling me about her best friend. Her best friend is this Korean girl that was adopted into this Jewish family. And she said in school she was always an outcast. She struggled with depression. And because of that, like, you barely see her like throughout the school year. And while she was telling me her story, she showed me a picture of her, and I remember seeing the picture, I'm like, she's such a beautiful young girl with such great promise for the future. But I remember I looked very closely into her eyes, and I remember what I saw was her eyes were filled with such sadness and such darkness. And so my student, you know, continued to tell the story, and she said, my best friend, she ended up committing suicide. And the way she left this earth was not in a painless, pain-free way. But the way she left this earth was in the most gruesome, self-inflicted, painful way that you could ever imagine. And I sat there listening to this, and I wanted to cry. I thought to myself, only if she knew Jesus, things would be different. Only if she knew the Lord. You know, often I sit in my office and I just feel so helpless. I cry out to God for these students. I'm like, Lord, what can I do? What can I do to help them? You know, there's all these restrictions. You can't talk about religion. You can't talk about God. And all I can really do is just to love them. And it's those moments where I realize that without God, I just can't really do anything on my own. I really, really need God. I think a lot of us have to come into this realization that we desperately need God. We have to come to this place where we're desperate for God in our lives. Because when we start to be desperate for the Lord, that's when we can start to really hunger for God. You see, Moses knew that the battle he faced was too big for him to handle alone. I mean, already up to this point, you see them coming out of Egypt and all these obstacles that God got them through. If it wasn't for God, they wouldn't even be alive. And all this time, you see God instructing Moses. You know, he tells him, hey, I want you to go to Egypt. I want you to talk to Pharaoh. You know, I want you to go and rescue my people. Place your staff in the Red Sea and it'll split the waters, you know? And there's this constant theme of the Lord instructing Moses, commanding Moses, and Moses obeying. And as I was really reading into the scriptures, I realized God was teaching Moses how to rely on him. But what's interesting about this passage is that in this passage, specific one, God never instructs Moses to go up to the hill and start praying. He never said it. You know, all the other times he's like, Moses, go do this and that. But this time he didn't say a single word, but you see, Moses already knew. You know, all the times that God came through, he knew that he desperately needed God. So instead of trying to fight the battle himself, he went on his knees and he sought the presence of the Lord. I remember the times that I would go early into my office, like maybe like 6 in the morning, and like nobody's really there, and I would get on my knees, and I would start to weep for these students. And I would start to cry out to God for these students. I would cry out to God that he would change something in them, because I felt so helpless. And the reality is we live in such dark times today, right? And Catalyst, as Christians, as Christ followers, we can't just be bystanders anymore. We need to get desperate for God. We need to start getting hungry for the Lord. Because how many of you know, when we start to get on our knees and we start to seek and hunger after God, things in this world will start to change. Amen? Things in the spiritual realm will start to shift. People around us will start to change. And we will start to see the tide of this spiritual war turn in our favor. Amen? Amen. All right, number 2. We need to embrace the struggle. Can you turn to your neighbor and say, embrace the struggle? Thank you. You know, I said this before. Oh, that's much better. I said this before, you know, we live in a world with so many distractions, right? But not only do we live in a world with distractions, we also live in a society where being comfortable is our top priority. Can you agree with me on that? Right? We seek instant gratification, right? Temporary satisfaction. We want a quick fix. We want things to be easy. And it's crazy nowadays. I'm pretty sure there's like a remote that tells my other remote to turn on the TV. Right? And that's like, do you need something like that? Like, back when I was a kid, I had to actually go up there and like turn the dial, you know? So I just feel like we become so lazy. And God never said that our lives would be struggle-free. He never said our lives would be struggle-free. In fact, the very core of being a Christian is to embrace the struggles that come your way. It's to embrace it and fight the struggles.
God never promised that he would take our struggles away, but he does promise this. He says, I will walk with you. Even through the valley of the shadow of death, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. Catalyst, he never leaves us in our struggles. And as we read in the Bible scripture, we can see that there's this noble display of Moses embracing the struggle. You know, you don't see him try to run away or take the easy way out. But you see Moses on his knees and has his hands raised with the staff in both of his hands, crying out to the Lord. It says that his hands were raised up and he never let his hand down until sunset. You know, I think about that. Like, can you imagine, like, if I were to do this for even 5 minutes, my shoulders would start to hurt, and I would have to put it down. You know, I wouldn't be able to hold it up even more than 5 minutes. But, you know, Moses, he held his hands until sunset, and he faced his struggles. And today, we have to face our own struggles, too. For me, I faced a reality in my life where Hello. For me, I face a reality in my life where sometimes, you know, my heart becomes really cold. I'm no longer passionate for God. I no longer hunger after him. And I just feel really numb and empty, right? Do you guys ever feel that? And it's such a battle, it's such a struggle. But you know, there comes a point where God wants us to stop playing this waiting game, where we wait for God, right? There comes a point in our lives where instead of waiting for God, God waits for us. And just like Moses, he wants us to take that initiative. He wants us to take a stand. He wants us to fight. And it is in this, during this process that God can start to mature faith. You know, often when I'm facing this internal struggle, there's like this bike path that I like really near my house. And I like that bike path to run in because not a lot of people go there. So it's like really secluded. So I decide to run, and like sometimes I sprint. Because the way I think about it is while I'm running, it's like this, it's like, you know, I related to my internal struggles that I face, right? So I'm running, and then I get to this point in the woods where it's just like completely empty, not a single person. And at that point, I'm like out of breath because I'm out of shape, right? And my heart is like beating out of my chest. And it's at that point when no one's around, I just scream at the top of my lungs. I say, Jesus, you need to help me. And then I get on my knees and I just start to cry. And it's these battles that we face in the secret, right? We have to face, and that we have to embrace. Catalyst, we need to fight today. Amen? He didn't create us to be weak, but he created us to be warriors. And he says that we're more than conquerors in his Bible, right? So if Moses fought through and overcame, then we can do it too. Catalyst, let's not give up, but just like Moses, let's take a stand and let's fight today. And let's embrace the struggle. Amen? All right, get to our third point. We need community. Can you turn to your neighbor and say, I need you? I need you. And it's true, we can't do it alone, right? We need each other. And I'm so grateful to be in this church. I love this church so much with all my heart, and it's my home now, right? I can't imagine myself anywhere else. And people that I invite to come here many times, they say they see some kind of difference. And I know in my heart what it is. And I know it's because this church is filled with people who genuinely love you. It's so hard and rare to find something like that. You know, if like your love is fake, if people can just smell it miles away. You can't really hide it. Yeah, but there's this genuine love in this church, and I'm so grateful for all the people in this church that really poured into my life. And especially in this point in my life, I'm really grateful for Beautiful Gate Ministry. And not it's not because, you know, we're just a group ministry, but it's because we're a family. And, you know, many times, you know, when I'm struggling, I go to these meetings, like at 7:30 in the morning. I often leave much stronger and more refreshed. We start to talk about, you know, when we meet, we start talking about the things of God. Like, we start encouraging one another, and we start praying for one another. And things in our hearts start to stir up. The Holy Spirit starts to connect us again. So then we're transported back to this place where we just first started and we're hungry. Do you know that we've been meeting like almost every Saturday, like 7:30 in the morning for almost a year now? It was like last September when we first met. And, you know, I know you guys are like, oh man, that's way too early, right? And every time they come out, I'm like, guys, thank you for coming out. You guys are awesome. Thank you. And then I always get in trouble, like, Young, stop thanking us. Like, every time we meet, you keep saying thank you, thank you, thank you. We come because we want to be here. So I want to ask you today, who are you surrounding yourself with? When Moses was up on that hill, you know, Moses brought with him the people that he could trust. He brought people that he knew that would support him. People he knew were him on. Can I just use one of those, Mike? Yeah.
We rebuke you, Satan.
Right? Okay. So if you look in verse 12, it says, Moses' arms became tired, and Aaron, who was his brother, and his friend Hur, they stepped in and held his hands up for him to continue to fight. So as much as it is important to fight our individual battles, it's also important to surround ourselves with the right people. People that will breathe life into you. People that will sharpen you. People that will encourage you, right? So if you haven't already, I highly encourage, you know, everyone here to join a life group. You know, Pastor Sam Mahijam didn't ask me to make that plug, but I strongly believe that it's super beneficial to be part of a life group. So yeah, I think it's starting in September again, so let's join a life group and let's surround ourselves with people in our lives that would help us in our journey for hungering after God. Amen. All right, we come to our last point. The last point is cry out for help. And I know I kind of touched on this before, but I truly believe it's something important to us. You see, Moses cried out for help. Right? If you read the commentaries, they say the very act of Moses getting on his knees and raising his hands, it meant intercession. He was interceding. He was praying and crying out to God. We need to cry out to the Lord. There's this woman named Wanda Walburn. I don't know if you guys know her. Her husband, she's the spiritual formation director for Nye College, and her husband, Ron, you know, he's the dean of my seminary that I graduated, but I'm pretty sure you guys remember him. He came about like 2 years ago, I think, and he spoke at Moore Conference. But I remember there was this one point where I was at PCNJ retreat with Hubert, and she was a guest speaker. And she was speaking this message, and there's something that she said that really stuck to me. Wanda said that when she feels dry, and she feels like she doesn't really have a desire for God anymore, she says this prayer. She says, God, give me a desire to want more of you. Give me a desire to want more of you. Whatever it takes, take me deeper. And then when I heard this, I realized it was such a bold prayer, right? And such an interesting prayer too. You know, I always thought that desiring and hungering after God was something that I had to muster up inside myself, you know, something that I had to fight, something that the passion and the fire, I need to find it myself. But I never knew that we can ask the Lord, we can ask God Himself to give us a desire for Him. And I love this lyric in this one song that I always listen to, and it says, it takes you to love you. It takes you to love you. And for me, I thought that was like so profound, right? Because the lyrics are saying that sometimes God needs to rescue us in this place of numbness. He needs to rescue us in this place of dryness. And He needs to rescue us so that we can love and desire Him again. And I know a lot of us were in that place today. You know, we were feeling dry, feeling numb and distant. And a lot of us, we want to go deeper, and we want to get closer to God again. But we no longer have that desire and passion anymore. So brothers and sisters in Christ, I just want to encourage you. Today is the day. Not tomorrow, not next week, but right now. God gives us these opportunities. And He's giving us a new opportunity today to go before Him and be desperate, to cry out to Him. You know, in a little bit, you're going to have some ministry time, and I'm going to give us a chance to really respond to the Lord. But in that time, I really encourage you to ask God for that desire. If you're struggling, then ask Him for help. Ask God for that desire once again. What's holding us back today? Right? What are we waiting for? We often live as if tomorrow, or even the next minute, or even my next breath is guaranteed. But the reality is, you know, we don't know how long we have on this earth. Sometimes we live as if we're going to make it to 90, you know, like, oh, I'll retire around like 65, and then I'll have this and that when I get older. But it says in Scripture that we're just a vapor in the wind. One moment we're here, and another moment we're gone. And I remember I used to volunteer at this place called Mira. And my little sister, she knows, it's a place where they hold these after-school programs for kids with disabilities. And I remember just being with them, I could sense the love of the Lord so strong in the place. And I remember one day, my little sister, she called me, and she was crying. And I was like, what's wrong? What's going on? And she told me that this boy named Andrew, that was part of this program, just the night before, he had an epileptic seizure, and he passed away. And folks, he was only 17 years old. I remember I went to the funeral with my little sister. I was sitting there, and I was just shocked. I was like, God, how can you take away a boy that's just 17? And not just 17, he was also struggling with all these illnesses and disabilities. And I remember I was just in disbelief. But we come to that truth today. Only God knows when our time is up. So I want to ask you, what will you do with this one life that you have? What will you do with this one life that you have? See, I'm not this like super charismatic or super smart preacher that knows all these theological knowledges, you know, but one thing I do have is heart. And that's the one thing that the Lord gave me. He gave me heart so that I don't give up. I have this fight inside of me. I have this fight because I don't want to fizzle out. Many times I declare it over my life, like when I'm by myself in the car, I just scream out to God and say, God, I refuse. I refuse. I refuse to let my heart grow cold. I refuse to let my life go back to where it used to be. And one thing that really breaks my heart is seeing Christianity just being reduced to this mere Sunday thing. You know, we come to church on Sundays, and then from Monday to Saturday, we live just as the world. You know, I've come into contact with many people in my life, and what really breaks my heart is when they say that church hurt them, and because the church was not focused on the Lord. they decide to walk away from God. And that really breaks my heart. And we're called to be Christ followers. We're called to be Christian. We're called to be salt and light. We're called to set the captives free, bind the brokenhearted. But all we can do is really just hurt each other, right? So I just want to invite you today. Can you just close your eyes right now? Only God knows right now exactly where you are. Whether you're in a good place or in a really dry place. God doesn't condemn. He's here to embrace you right now. So can we just take this time, just where you are? You know, let's not wait till tomorrow or next week or maybe a year later, but let's take this opportunity right now. Let's just cry out to the Lord in desperation. You know, the enemy is, I believe, is scared today. Because he knows that when a church begins to hunger after God and start to seek his face, revival breaks loose. Cities change. Nations change. The world changes. And he knows that. And you know God is giving you this opportunity today. Before him. In desperation. So Carlos, will you join me? As the worship team plays the song, will you join me and just come before God to contend and fight this battle? This battle that is worth truly fighting for. So let's pray. God, we thank you. Thank you for your goodness and faithfulness. Lord, you walk with us through fire. You walk with us through the dryness. And Lord, you never leave us. Thank you for this opportunity where we can really truly come before you today and just bear our hearts before you in rawness and truth. So Lord, I pray, Holy Spirit, I pray that you start to stir in our hearts today. Lord, we don't want to stay in this place where we just dry and we just in a place that's, you know, in a place of apathy and complacency. But Lord, we want to hunger after you. We want to be on fire for you, God. And we want to be world changers. You have a plan, a destiny for each and every one of our lives today. Hey, help us to fight. Give us that strength to fight. Good Lord. In Jesus' name we pray.